بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. The chapter after Babu Sabr wa Tawakkul is a chapter that affects especially the lives of the people of ilm. Normally in business people you won't have it so much, although to a certain extent they also have it. It's called Babu Riya wa Sum'a, the chapter of showing or trying to be heard. So very nicely ulama explained that just look at this word riya. Riya comes from the word ru'ya, that I want to be seen. So nicely that ibarat itself makes you understand that how terrible this riya is. When they say that the asal of riya is ru'ya, to be seen, he says, "Ay liyarahu nas," so that people will see him. That doesn't sound so bad. He says, وَلَا يَكْفِيهِ رُؤْيَةُ اللَّهِ. That part is there. That Allah looking at him is not sufficient for him. وَلَا يَكْفِيهِ رُؤْيَةُ اللَّهِ. And then they say, سُمْعَ is لِيَسْمَعَهُ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَكْفِيهِ سَمْعُهُ اللَّهِ. That Allah listening to him is not enough. I need to be heard by somebody else. That ibarat is a very nice ibarat. Just to think, وَلَا يَكْفِيهِ. That why is it not sufficient? وَلَا يَكْفِيهِ رُؤْيَةُ اللَّهِ. That I need somebody else to also notice. That's that ru'ya. That's that riya. So it's a very nice ta'arif. Just to put that man, that why is it not sufficient? What is missing? That's that riya. So in the explanation of riya, ulama have gone out of their way to try to put darajat, levels, so that it becomes easier for a person to climb a ladder, where sometimes even ikhlas is sometimes explained to the highest level. And when we read the waqiyat of the asl, the real people who had reached the highest levels of ikhlas, then a person who's starting the journey, that is why it's mentioned that in a madrasa in the ibtidai darajat, in the lower daraja, you don't bring a Shaykhul Hadith to teach. Because in that first day, he's not going to teach fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu. He'll explain one long qaida, where the istisna comes, where the qiyas is not followed. That poor student will look and the next day is gone. But what that ustad said was right, but he said it at the wrong time. That this is the beginner, that daraja of ikhlas, what you're talking about is way beyond my dreams also. So sometimes in the books of tasawwuf, the error that people make is they read that and they say, if this is like that daraja that I'm looking for, then this is beyond my dreams. And what was easy to attain, because Almighty Allah never made anyone mukallaf of the impossible. So we read what was something great, but it was not easy to grab. And there were other things which were quite easy to grab. Many a time you would hear ikhlas is a very high daraja. So when you hear high, then the small child feels that I'll never reach it. But if a father knows how to teach a child, he will say the lower branch is for you. It's on the lower branch that you go higher and higher. One alim explained lovely, he said, what is a kamil sheikh? He says it's like you're going on a journey in a mountain. And during the day, that road, you could see that there were certain points that you felt, if my guide wasn't here, I could have just slipped. But so nicely he took us. But you saw those parts. Now you normally at a journey, you enjoy the going. But wherever you reach, you have to come back after that. And normally coming back time is when it's darker. So on the way, the man was worried that now when it's so light and it looks so scary, these places, coming back time, these are the places to watch out for. So he says, on the journey now back when it's darker, he says to his guide that, you know, that one, two spots on the morning which we passed was a little dangerous. Before we come there, like, you just tell us so that we can take our precaution. And the guide says, we already passed that. We already passed it. He says, such a guide that you passed the difficult, but he did it in such a manner that you never even know this is difficult. He said, that is a Kamil Shaykh. That if you start the thing and you say very high, very hard, then before that person even starts, imagine you come in Ula and that first Ustad who says, this kitab is the one that everyone suffers. You're not going to make it. That poor student, you need a teacher who says, this is like the easy stuff. Even if you don't know, it doesn't matter. It's not so important. But if you always say that you don't know your father, fa'ala, fa'alu, there's no way you're becoming an alim. 3 days time, that child is gone. So that beginning, a Shaykh Kamil is the one who will take you through hard things, but he will make it seem so simple, or so not important, that what you're supposed to reach, one day you are going to get it. But you don't always aim for the highest branch, and you forget that there are lower branches Allah created. So ulama went out of the way in the issue of riya, because the opposite of riya is ikhlas. So what we will say, that lowest, or the, what we will say, like, there's levels of riya. So we try to get away from the worst. And we come slowly, slowly, slowly to the least worst. And that least, which is the worst, is the lowest level of ikhlas which we're looking for. Meaning that one is that you got riya also, but you got ikhlas also. Now you're starting the game. Now slowly you start increasing in your riya, and you try and break through this level also. And then one day you go very high. That is why ulama now would make bayan of the darajat. What is this riya? So ru'ya, that the ru'yat of Allah is not sufficient for me. That sentence must always make me and you. That every night or every few days, or whenever something big happened on our hands, and then we enjoy the people who see it, we enjoy the people who hear it, we enjoy it when a person comes and says, hey, I saw what you did, I heard what you did, I enjoyed what you did. We enjoy it. That enjoyment you can't run away from at all. But that night, then just think this year, was the ru'ya of Allah not kafi? And you will immediately feel a little bad. That feeling a little bad for me and you is more than sufficient in the court of Almighty Allah. Our beginning in this court is, do I just feel a little bad? That was that ru'yat of Allah, not kafi, that I needed this year to make me extra happy. I just feel bad. Now we come on to the darajat. The hadith is quite famous and it's a very scary narration. There are many, but one narration that's mentioned in the kitab of Mishkat in the first chapter, when famous the narration is, where Almighty Allah says, Ana aghna shuraka. That normally when people get together, they are partners. And sometimes you will have one rich man, and because that month the profits were not lot, so everyone is going to get now maybe 300, when suppose everyone is expecting 3,000, but nothing came. So that rich man then, instead of taking his 300, he doesn't need 300. What is he going to do with it? And giving that man 300, when the time comes for dividing, he says that, you know what, I don't want my share, you all keep my share. So you get an extra 150, 150, it'll make you happy, it'll make me happy, and 300 is not going to help me one bit. That's a normal, what we call, a aghna shuraka. That from the different partners, I'm the most ghani. Like the small, small money, what do I need? Now when we come in the court of Almighty Allah, even big, big money is not needed. By Almighty Allah, there's no amount you can say, okay, like this is like good. So Almighty Allah will say, okay, 30,000 was made, okay, I'll take 10. By Almighty Allah, there is no need at all. So by Almighty Allah, it is, if the thing is without any other partner, 100% accepted, even if it's 1 rand. And if there is a partner in it, even if it's 1 million, Almighty Allah says, Ana aghnas. Now that's that isna tafdeel. I am that ghani, aghnas shuraka. That everywhere else, the one partner will look at the amount. If the amount is big, then he won't tell the others, hey, you all keep my share. That's when he says, okay, I also want mine. When it's a small amount. By Almighty Allah, the matter changed completely. It is, I don't bother of the amount. I don't want a partner. I don't bother of the amount. They say, akhlis amalak yakfika al-qaleel. أخلص عملك يكفيك القليل. And even little, but if it is khalis, Lord, it is. The Almighty Allah, it's not if the amount is big, then I'll take my share. Amount is small, what am I going to do with it? But Almighty Allah is, if there's no partner, even if it's only 1 cent, I'll take it. So, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَى. Then the narration carries on. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِي غَيْرِي. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِي غَيْرِي. In which he has made someone besides me a partner. So ulama go to details in explaining that, see this غَيْرِي, besides me. See the translation I said. I never said something, I said someone. So they say مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ. Because amongst the Sufiya, there was always that bahas. That do you do for Allah or do you do for Jannah? So that was never meant as a partner. That had ta'alluq with Allah itself. There were those very high level of Sufiya who would say this. If I worship Allah for Jannah, oh Allah, don't give me Jannah. If I worshipped Allah for Jahannam, fear of Jahannam, then put me in Jahannam. As I told you, it was a branch which was very high. The Sunnah taught us like a lower branch. Ulama went to such an extent that they explained it so beautifully. They said a man must think that if there was no Jannah and if there was no Jahannam, would I still have made the sajda? And if your heart tells you, I think you would have, then you must know I'm not doing it really for Jannah. I'm doing it still for my Allah. Meaning if tomorrow you have to be told that Jannatul Firdaus is not for you, will you still come to the masjid? So a believer knows that what other cause I got. Even if there is no such thing as Jahannam, there is anger of Allah. That the Zat of Allah doesn't need Jahannam to show his anger. Now Almighty Allah, have you ever seen a person bitten by a scorpion? There's no pain on the outside. They say the scorpion sting is worse than the snake. But you don't see that he's cut. So normally we will say the sword brought pain. But he had no sword. His pain came in the inside. And the way he screams and the doctor can't help him. Because had he been cut on the out, you would immediately hold the hand, you would put something. But here it's in. By Almighty Allah, the anger of Allah itself is something even bigger than Jahannam. And by Almighty Allah, the happiness of Allah is bigger than Jannah. So they wrote nicely that if there was no Jannah, would you still have brought yourself to the Musalla? They said, you know you would have. So that bahas you don't have to worry about, do I worship Allah for Jannah or do I worship Allah for Allah? Man, whoever worships for Jannah is for Allah. And whoever worships for the fear of Jahannam is for Allah. So that part goes together. That أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِي غَيْرِ, who makes someone besides me مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ, meaning from those who got no ta'alluq with Allah. He makes him a partner. That part is famous in the narration. The part I want you to think about is this next part. تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَ. تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَ. That wow is called مَعَ. How we say تَرَكْتُهُ مَعَ شِرْكِهِ. I will leave that man, مَعَ شِرْكِهِ وَدِي شِرْك. Some explain, I will leave him with his partners. Different narrations show it different, but think of that word, تَرَكْتُهُ. تَرَكْتُهُ means where that mother is walking with the child, and then the child looks at the aunt maybe, or maybe the mother and her mother-in-law is having a fight. And now they're looking at the child to see whose side you take. So obviously the mother wants the child to be with the mother. Because she's got a major problem with the child's granny, her mother-in-law. And as the child is going past the granny's house, she says, Mommy, Mommy, I want to go to granny's house. And Mommy hates granny, mother-in-law. At that time the mother looks at the child and says, if you want to go, go. That's called taraktu. That's that taraktu. One of the biggest harms of this riya, that وَلَا يَكْفِيهِ رُؤْيَةُ اللَّهِ is the siya taraktuhu. That where the mother says, no problem, go. But when that mother drives away, that child knows he got no mother after that. He got no mother. When that taraktuhu was mentioned, I leave him with his shirk, it means matruk. That person no longer is Allah's after. Then you think about, was it worth it now? I wanted someone to see me, but he couldn't reward me. But it never ended on that day. It made me matruk. That the only one who could do, I pulled away from it. So that granny after 5 minutes is going to tell the child, now go back to your mommy, my back is paining. But there's no mother. That taraktuhu wa shirka. And that mother just carried on. That if you want to stay here, no problem, stay. Now when the child looks, where's mommy? Now the child has to go back to the mother. This is the nuhusat of this riyah. That wala yakfihi ru'yatullah. Was it not sufficient, ma Allah seeing me, but the taraktuhu. That it is such an action that makes man. Otherwise, normally you will think about it, okay, like I enjoyed that man. But the taraktuhu, I left him. Then you say, is it worth it? Is it worth it? There's only one Sahara everyone enjoys. And for this one amal, just to get that person to see it, everything I lost. Taraktuhu wa shirka. I leave him. So it's scary that. So ulama then put darajat to say that now when you heard it, so terrible. But we will show you the low branch. So the worst of shirk is what we call a man does an amal and there's absolutely no intention of reward in it. It is only riya. And they'll give the example is that a person performs his salah also and he got no wuzu and he's not bothered. It doesn't even worry him inside. Why? He just says, I know I have to read my salah because I'm getting that mark. The roll call is, he says, hardly you'll get a person like that. Even if sometimes a student in some madrasas, they have those Jalali Asatiza, they are made the Nazim. So they come 1 minute or 1-2 minutes behind. And then after the salah now, if anyone dares stand up to say, I missed a rakat. So it means now you are going to be either behind that ustad because he came just before the rakat ended. So the ustad makes salam like this, and dare you behind him now. So what happens then, that students get that fear, so what happens, even if he missed a rakat, he's not standing. And then they say sometimes, even if he got no wuzu also, he's there reading his namaz. But even that student, although you can tell him it's like kufar what you're doing, but even he will say, I feel very bad about it. So he's not on that highest, highest level of the worst. Because he also understands that, solely and solely for a person. So that part, by the fadl of Allah, most of us, inshallah, all of us are out of that part. That's the worst daraja. Then comes the second daraja. That the maqsad is only to show the people. But there's a slight ummeed also of, okay, let me get the sawab in it also. But the maqsad, majority of the maqsad is ira. And because it's an amal of deen, then I say, okay, let me make the wuzu properly. Because if send someone to do it, I rather get something in the year after also. So that wuzu is not made for the sawab. It is, I'm going to do the action to show the person. Since I'm doing the action, I rather just put it right according to the laws. And little bit sawab might come also. Inshallah, all of us are not on that daraja also. That I am here now because my father got tired. And he said, now just go study. Now when I'm sitting here every day, it might have happened on day one, day two, day three. But immediately then a person thought, it's not worth it. So instead of saying that, let me just get little sawab, normally a person will then say that, since I'm here, let me get sawab. So we can come out of that daraja also. Because that by Almighty Allah will be said, taraktuhu. That there's no need for you to study. It's like how in the madrasa, the principal tells the student, that if you don't want to study, don't make life difficult for us. By Almighty Allah, it's the same thing. I'm not forcing you. So don't just think that, you know, I'd rather just put it according to the qawaid and little bit sawab. So inshallah, that part Allah save us all, but very few will also be on that path. Little bit aqal will tell him it's not worth it. Since I'm doing the amal, let me now do it for Allah. So now we come on to the third one. That's where many get stuck now. So it's not so hard now. It's only one daraja to pull away. They say that the shauk to do the amal is also because of sawab for Allah. And at the same time, the people seeing and hearing about it is also a big push towards it. And how you understand now whether I'm on this bad daraja is, that let me say I come to the masjid, and normally what brings me to the masjid is the people seeing, because madrasa put a competition, whoever will read their Fajr Salah example for 40 days, without missing their takbir. So they'll get a certificate. So now that person is being pushed, he's going to get that certificate. So he is coming. What's pushing him? Also the sawab is pushing him. And also that I have to get what I have to get. Both are pushing him. But let's just say that one day he knows now that today the Nazim is sick. So there's no roll call. So that day he says, this is the day to sleep it. So you will tell him, you on this darajah now. That both things together were bringing you. If any one of the two falls, the thing falls. Any one of the two means you weren't only doing it for them. Because if now you had to be told that, you know what, you're not going to get no sawab, again that man will say, then now I go back. So sawab was also pulling him. I mean, he was doing it as it's farz. This is a farz, this thing. But at the same time, that was pulling him. So here the ulama write that, look at it. Hazrat Mullah Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri worried about this year. Because sometimes it happens, you're an alim and you're going out and you're giving bayans, lectures. So a person now says, I want to give you a hadiah. Now sometimes that hadiah is a little bit higher than what you call the good hadiah. So it makes you happy because no one's heart is ever in his control. So the person looks at the hadiah and it's a nice hadiah like. So now the next time that comes and you're going through those villages, naturally you're going to start thinking, I remember last time they gave this hadiah. So you start like a desire comes in you, I wish they give the hadiah again. That you can't run away from. It is like a girl who liked you once upon a time. Later on in life you'll marry, but you'll always wonder, does she still like me? That thought won't go away. That thought will always remain. But will that thought harm you? Because you can't take out thoughts. So now when you're going, so Murad Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri was worried now. That the hadith comes, that israf, like this desire, waiting for something. That money that comes got no barakah at all. But this thought was natural now, because last time they gave the hadiah. And I'm going through the same town again. And same person is my guest. And I don't expect that last time he gave me so much. And this time I come and he say, Hazrat, now, actually, last time I paid you for this time, so this time I'm paying you. That won't happen. That'll happen, you go in a restaurant. So the waiter acts hard, funny. He's not interested in showing you anything. So at the end of the meal, you give him, example, 50 rand. He gets a shock of his life. So he says, if I treated him like this, then I got 50. If I have to treat him good, he'll give me 500. Next time you come to the restaurant, he gives you a top treatment. And when you're leaving, you put 5 rand in his hand. Now he looks, see, this was for last. Last was for this. Yeah, it won't happen. Yeah, the person, if he gave you last, he's not going to give you better. So the Shaykh gave a unique tashreem. Murad Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri was so happy. He says, you think about it, that feeling is there. But let's just say they don't give it. So you had that they'll give, isn't it? But now you went there, and for some reason, maybe there was a virus at that moment. Everyone. Whatever happened, you never got it. So as the Shaykh to Murad Khalil Ahmad, you ask yourself, next year will you go back to this village? Next year will you go back? If you know it's part of my route that I do these villages, I will come back. Then Hazrat Shaykh says, then know you are doing it for Allah, not for the money. But if you don't get it, and then next year you reroute, then you know you're doing it for the money, not for Allah. It was a unique tashri, because in life we will always have this. That if the madrasa has coming out first and I'm studying so hard. Now let's say the madrasa says from this year no more this coming out first. Will I still study hard? Then you know it's for Allah. And if you just see I fall completely, then like no worry. Then you must know you are on this level. Like, it was still not for Allah. We need to pull out of that daraja. Many of us are stuck on that. We need to come just on that lower which Murad Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri was. That there is still that feeling. So now I'm doing it for Allah. Now I'm doing it for Allah. But I still get happy when someone praises me. I still get happy if someone sees me. So a Sahabi radiallahu anhu himself mentioned this. To Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I get happy. I am performing my salah and someone comes and sees. It makes me so thrilled. That's one narration. Another narration is the Sahabi asked that فَيَحْمَدُهُ النَّاسِ, that the people praise him after that. Whether he gets happy or he doesn't get happy, but they praise him. Meaning, will my sawab be batil now? But it's natural when people praise you, are you not going to get happy? You're going to get happy. And if you were reading a tahajjud and someone walked in, you'll be like thrilled. So at that time, will my Allah wipe away my 30 years of reward because I was reading that tahajjud. So at that time, the easy branch for me and you is that I will ask myself that for the last 30 years I was reading, no one walked in. Did it stop me reading? And I will continue reading, not knowing whether anyone will walk in again. Why I'm continuing? If I will continue, then it meant that that day, which comes in the narration, tilka ajilu bushra al-mu'min, that by Allah there's a reward in the year after that is called ajil wa da hamza. And this is ajil wa da ayn. Sometimes Almighty Allah likes to say to His servant, that forget the reward in the year after, that is there. Let me give you something now also. He said, this is ajil, enjoy it. It's cash, but it's not going to spoil what's coming later. So this daraja, which normally will also be called riya, that there's that feeling of show here also. I enjoy to be praised. So I give a bayan, and it will make me happy if the people are happy about it. And after the bayan, perhaps I even think like, or someone is coming to me and immediately I get happy, he's coming. Sometimes it might happen the opposite. He comes and he starts one way. But as soon as I see him, or a qari is reading, and as the qari is reading now and then everyone is like, Allah, Allah, but he is like, his eyes are closed. Sometimes he just opens. Like to see, are they all like, how's the crowd? So that how's the crowd story, it's a natural thing. So sometimes people write now, must I stop the amal? I'm a good reader of Quran and I want to make it better, I want to make it better. But then that thought comes that every time when I'm reading, or when they're going to ask who's going to be the reader, then I look down but I'm waiting like the eye must fall on me. And if it doesn't fall, it falls on the other one, then as he goes, it irritates me. And as he's reading there, I start thinking like, this is that one fault he made, that's fault. So this is also riya. But ulama went so easy, they went, that this is that daraja there, which at that moment you must sit and think, will I still continue practicing reading Quran? If I continue, then oh Allah, it's for you. These are the plays of my heart. But it's still for you. We will continue trying for the highest branch. How? Whenever after the person praises us, the person thanks us, the person talks about it, you're going around, you hear someone say, I heard your bayan, it makes you happy. I read your kitab, it made you happy. He said, hey, you read wonderful Quran, it made you happy. At night, I will just say that was the ru'ya of Allah not kafi? Like, what this made me happy for? That one sentence by Almighty Allah will be accepted, my servant. I just wanted you to feel bad. Like, the fact that you felt bad means I want it only for you. But it's a very high branch that. But before getting to that high branch, I will try for this low branch. That whenever someone will praise and I'll get happy, I will ask myself. And I will make sure that even if the praise never come, will I still give a bayan again? If that praise never come, will I still do this again? If that praise never come, will I still help that person again? If that praise never come, will I still read that nafal? If that answer is, I'll still do it, then I'm on a branch, which is not the perhaps the best of branches, but it's a branch. That branch is good enough for me to start climbing the tree. That branch can also be called riya, but ulama have written that it is that branch of riya, because you're enjoying the show, isn't it? But it is that branch of riya that if you stand on, perhaps there might be a little deficiency in the sawab, but Almighty Allah will not wipe away that I don't want it. It will be accepted in that court, but they will not be obviously what that man on the top branch is getting. That's where we want to aim for. But don't miss this lower branch. We will continue making amal. Lovely they say that the great scholars of ilm in the past would say that when we came to study knowledge, طَلَبْنَا الْعِلْمَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, our initial maqsad was everything besides Allah. to give a bayan, to be the qadi, to be the great muhaddis, to have my kitabs in the world. Everyone must talk about me. There was so much. Then they would say, knowledge refused, except that it made us khalis lillah. They would say, fa'abal ilmu, ilm refused, illa iyakuna khalisan lillah. Meaning we entered it for many maqasid. Somewhere along the line we started reading. Maybe we reached the age of 50 and then we thought, so many years, and what I got out of it. Now the whole world is talking. Previously we mentioned this, many a time a sheikh gives khilafat. One maqsad of his giving khilafat to his murid is the person who took bayat. From day one his maqsad was, when I'll get khilafat. And every time he saw someone getting khilafat, it meant, hey, why he got led? So how many days he spent, how many days now, how many more, I'm spending so much time. So sometimes the sheikh gives the khilafat. He gives the khilafat for what? To say, now what other maqsad you got? What you wanted, is it? Now can you start doing it for Allah? Meaning there was this one thing, now I gave it to you. So your maqsad was, the world must know me. So now the world knows you. They must all hear, now they're all hearing. They must read my kitabs, now they're all reading, now what? At that moment the man sits and thinks, so much effort went, and all of it gave me nothing. Because what I wanted I got, and I'm still nowhere. And at that moment he just says, okay Allah, now it's for you. Like, you see, that subhanallah that he makes perhaps after 50 years, that is heavier than all that work he did for that last day. Everything was like, to be known, so I gave you that. So sometimes how the sheikh gives a murid that khilafat, that you wanted it, years it, now do it for me. Sometimes Allah gives His servant whatever the servant wanted. You wanted to be known, right, I make you known. But not just for no reason, that now will you do it for me now. That what you wanted I gave you. Now will you do it. So somewhere along the journey of ilm, the thought will come to a person. That what I wanted, I got now. As though my Allah said, yeah, you wanted it, take it. You got your khilafah. Now what? So in our madrasa, we also have example. You come out first. So the boy became first. He came out first year, second year, third year. Now he got his turban. Now everyone knows you're a great alim. Now they gave you a top job in the masjid. You're the main imam. You're the imam of the haram. Whatever you want, you got it. After you got it all, then one day sit back and say, now what else? Whatever I want, I got. At that time, he will say, now let me do it for Allah. That's what the ilm denied or did not allow, except the day came when it became khalisan lillahi. That's the highest branch. The branch that we will try for is just this year. Let it not be that if no one praises, I stop. If no one praises, then it means I'm like this. Even if they don't praise, I will still do. That branch we can stand on. Allah tabarak ta'ala bless us all with the highest levels of ikhlas. Amen. Allah tabarak ta'ala aid us in the path walking towards Him. Amen. Allah tabarak ta'ala save us from riya and sum'a. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.